our Bibles together. We're going to read a couple different stories today from Matthew 13. Matthew 13, we'll spend most of our time there. I'd like to welcome all of you here this morning. Several of our members here, several visitors with us. We said in our Bible class period that it's an unfortunate circumstance why we have some of our visitors. I think we mentioned it last week. We rejoice with those who rejoice, and we mourn with those who mourn. Had a couple funerals yesterday, and I know there's a lot of people who are mourning. We are here for you, we pray for you, and we are thankful that the family is here. And when we're together here, we are so thankful for the God that we serve, who makes eternal life possible. We also rejoice. We have a couple babies on the way, which is great. I'll just say a quick note, because it's personal, of course, to my life. You know, the Brodies are getting ready to leave. I believe that's still on track for this week, after talking to Justin. They're going to Arizona, where Brooke and I were, and I'll just say from personal experience, and I told Justin, it is exciting, because there's a baby, but it is a very lonely time, because you are not at home with a brand new baby, with no family, and you have no idea when you get to come home. The adoption process is a difficult one, but they have a church family who's been through this before. So I encourage you, wrap your arms around them, call them, text them, write them cards, because it is a long couple weeks out there. But we're excited for them in the next couple weeks on what's coming. Brooke and I were at Hobby Lobby on Friday night. I got conned in to go for one thing, and all their fall stuff and Christmas stuff is there, so we went down about every aisle, it felt like, and we did not leave with just one thing. But in the process, she was looking at this stand of cards, and she said, "Kevin, I need this." And I had to agree with her, because the front of it said, "Our friendship will never die," and on the inside it said, "Unlike the plants in my home." And that's about how it sums up our plant life at our house. Our house is where plants come to die. We have the best intentions, but there's just, in my opinion, there's too many rules. This plant needs sunlight, but only this much. This plant doesn't. And this one needs this much water. And then there's plants that hardly need water, like succulents, but yet we've somehow killed even those ones. And it's just, there's a lot of rules to it. You know, in our spiritual lives, we're a lot like those plants. There's a lot of things that go into cultivating a good spiritual life. There's food, there's water that's needed, there's good soil, as we'll look at today. There's lots of different aspects to growing spiritually, and if we're not careful, and if we don't follow we can call them rules, but the instructions that have been given to us by God on how to live a righteous life, on how to cultivate that righteous life, then of course we're going to die. We're going to spiritually wither up, and we'll find ourselves somewhere else. I'll admit, today's parable that we'll conclude our series with was not on my radar. I wasn't thinking about this one. I had several others in mind, but as I mentioned last week, Gwen sent me some pictures and gave me permission to use them, and he said, "There's just so many good lessons here." I said, "You know, there is, because when you see a real-life example we'll look at in just a little while, it puts some things in perspective." But as we see in Matthew 13, we'll get to this parable of the sower here in just a moment. We've been looking at parables for the last several weeks. We'll conclude that series today. But God has this way of, and Jesus is telling these parables, they have a way of using these everyday examples that even you and I are familiar with. We may not be farmers, we may not be master gardeners, we may not be fishermen, but they have this way of giving these little stories, and they help us just understand these greater heavenly, godly principles and these lessons on how to live life. And that's exactly what happens here. Because although you may not be a master gardener, you may be great with landscaping and keeping plants alive, or you may be horrible, you will relate to something in this story today, and then you're going to see the spiritual application of, wow, maybe I need to take a step in a new direction. But Jesus says this we'll start in verse 1 of Matthew 13. It says, "On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So we said, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is most likely a parable that you may have heard before. That here is this farmer as he's throwing his seed into the field. It lands on four different kinds of soil. We'll look deeper at those in just a moment. Some falls on the wayside. That was a little path really around the border of the fields. It was hard ground, really nothing to grab root onto. And so as he's throwing his seed out into the field, some falls on this very hard, really unplantable ground. And after some time, it says, since the seed is just sitting there right on top, the birds come and they just start picking up those seeds and eating. Some falls on ground in stony places, it says. And because the dirt there was stony and it didn't have a lot of that good soil, it says there was really not a lot of room for those roots to grab hold and really start digging deep. And so it says they immediately sprang up, but when the sun came and it started to get hot, because they didn't have the root system in place, they just withered away. Others, when it was thrown on the ground, was thrown into some places where there were some thorns. And as those thorns came up with the plants, well, the plants looked good for a little while, but those thorns eventually wrapped themselves around and choked them out. And then he said, but some fell on the good ground, the good soil. And they sprang up and they rooted nice and deep into the ground. They sprang up and they yielded a great crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. And you hear that, and I want you to imagine this for a moment. You're sitting in this crowd that says Jesus went on a boat. There's this place in Galilee where this most likely happened. Some of you have seen these photos when Barry Britnell has been here. It looks like a natural little amphitheater where Jesus can go out onto the sea, and then the little hillside is right there. It looks like a natural amphitheater. You're sitting there, and you're looking down at Jesus, and he's telling you this parable, and he starts talking about the seed and the soils and the birds and the thorns, and you're sitting there thinking, what in the world is this man talking about? I didn't come here for a farming lesson. I came here to hear this man who supposedly has answers to life, who can heal people, who talks about this kingdom, this Messiah, and yet he's talking about birds and seed and dirt. Even his apostles, it says, they came to him and they said, why are you speaking to them in parables? They were even perplexed what Jesus was really trying to get at. We talked about why Jesus did this in past lessons, so we're not going to get into that portion of the scripture this morning. But he does explain. This is one of the few parables where Jesus actually takes the time to explain what he means by this parable that he was trying to teach. And so he says in verse 18 of the same chapter, he says, so hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who has received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Then he goes on to teach in some more parables. You know, it doesn't matter what century you live in. It doesn't matter if you were there that day listening to Jesus while he was standing in that boat. It doesn't matter if you're from the 700, 800, 900s. It doesn't matter if you're from the 17, 18, 1900s. This parable rings true to every generation and every person who has ever walked this earth, who has ever heard the Word of God. Because really, essentially, what he's getting at here is the heart on which God's Word is going to dwell. And at the end of the day, the choice is up to you and I at what heart we want to accept God's Word with. And I'm sure reading through this, again, you've probably heard it a million times, but you can start relating to different people in your life, or maybe even different times in your life, where your heart has been hardened like the wayside, or your heart, even though you want to do good, you just haven't been strong like the stony places. And you can start piecing together these moments or these people that you can say, God's Word had no effect on them. Or there's times in your life where God's Word had no effect on you. And what I want us to get across today is, no matter where you are in life, no matter what soil you would maybe place yourself in or your heart in, there's room for growth. Soil can change. In fact, I've been trying to get more yard work done before fall hits, and my back is still screaming at me. We had to go clear out roots and thorns and rocks and try to get the soil to be better for some things I'm wanting to plant. You know, the same is true of your heart, and where God's Word is in your heart. And as we talk about some of these things today, I want us to self-evaluate, where is my heart today? Is God's Word in my heart? And if it is, am I letting it get choked out? Am I letting it get dried up? Or am I letting it produce fruit, not just in my own personal life, but in the lives of those around me? Because I want you to think about some of these things as Jesus is telling us the meaning of this parable. That as God's Word is taught to us, as we continue to listen, as we continue to hear and eat on God's Word, I want you to think about some of these ideas. You look at what Jesus says about the wayside for just a moment. He says these are the kinds of people, they hear the word, but they just don't understand. And we'll look at some things in just a minute about how we can grow no matter where we are in life. But maybe you're here this morning and you are really not understanding what you're seeing in the pages of your scriptures. You're not understanding why we just took the Lord's Supper, why we're singing songs, why we're using our voices to sing songs, why every time Kevin gets to the end of the lesson, he talks about the water that's right behind them here. Maybe you're being taught by a friend or family member. Maybe you're a young person who has sat in these pews from the time that they were born, but you're finally starting to put some things together. You're just not understanding. I believe there's a choice to be made here. There's a lot of people, as Jesus says here, who will simply hear and not understand. And it's in those vulnerable moments where the devil really finds those moments in life and those insecurities, and he will capitalize on those. And so if you're here this morning and that describes you, I want you to know, and I'm going to start with the downside, and then we're going to look at the positive. I want you to know something about if this describes your heart. As Jesus said here, the devil's after you. The devil's after all of us. Don't get me wrong. But man, the devil loves the weak ones, doesn't he? It's like the lion who's running after the pack of gazelles. They don't go after the fast ones. There's that weak one straggling behind. The meat's just as good. And you may be here this morning, and you feel like, I just don't understand, and you're starting to struggle, you're starting to question. I would encourage you, don't stay there. You have people here, you have people in your life who care about you, who love you, who want to see God's Word grow in your heart. Use them. Ask your questions. Bring your cares, bring your struggles. Because if the Word of God only stays on the hard heart, the devil will snatch it up. And that's what Jesus is telling us here. The wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. If you have God's Word in your heart, let it stay there. Let it start to grow. And we're here to help you. He says, but some seed was thrown on that rocky ground. And notice what he says about that. He says, those rocks, it's the people that they'll hear the Word. They love the Word. In fact, he says, There's joy when they receive the word, it says in verse 20. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. They're excited. But he says he has no root in himself and endures only for a while, for when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, and immediately he stumbles. Maybe that describes you today. Maybe that perfectly describes you, that you are excited to learn more about God. Maybe you've been a Christian for 2 months, maybe you've been a Christian for 20 years, and you find yourself excited, but you also find yourself, when those troublesome times come, persecution because of the words, because you haven't really dug deep. Sure, you come on Wednesdays, you come on Sundays, you'll sit in Bible class, you might even answer a question or two. But when those troublesome times hit, there's really no firm roots stuck all the way down in the ground. See, that's what the rocks, they were hindering the roots from digging deep. Maybe that describes your heart today. Someone who's been holding themselves back. Someone who maybe hasn't put quite the effort into digging those roots down deep. And so when the trouble comes, when the persecution, when we just let ourselves wither away. That sun, the trouble that he says, those persecutions, when that sun comes out because those roots aren't deep, the plant just withers. And we let ourselves just fade off. We take ourselves away from God's people. We take ourselves away from worship. Because sometimes we feel like that's just easy. That describes you today. Again, the message still rings true what I said before. You're with people here today who love you, who care about you, who want to see you dig deeper, who want to see you rooted firm in God's word. But then there's those seeds that they were planted, but then as they were growing up and growing up strong, you have the worries of life, it says, the deceitfulness of money. I always found that interesting that Jesus puts that in there. Because he would say in other places that the love of riches, that will hold someone back from the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he brings it up here that he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. And really what we see in the actual parable is someone who springs up and looks like a good crop. But because it's growing with all these things around them, it becomes deceived. The worries of life, the deceitfulness of money, it starts wrapping itself around and it starts slowly choking it out to where maybe we think we're growing up big, strong, tall, we're going to start producing fruit, but yet all these things are really holding on to us, starting to choke us, starting to pull us back down. This is where Gwen sent me some pictures. I've had good things from his garden. He has shared some vegetables and some things with us, and they're great, but he even said, he goes, this one I thought it was going to turn out differently. I'm going to show you these pictures here. He said, again, he gave me permission to use them. He says, this is what happens when you try to grow corn, but you don't take care of the ground that the corn is growing. This is in his backyard here. He said, so I got to a point where I decided I'm just going to let it grow together. So you see the corn stalks, they're coming up. They're coming up really well, aren't they? It looks like corn. What happened when you went to go try to harvest? There was nothing there. He said, I eventually tried to go out and see, well, maybe some corn would come. Nothing came. He says, if that's not real life application, I don't know what it is. There's nothing better in my mind than a real life visual to something Jesus said 2,000 years ago. And I have a feeling that most of us, even though we want to be in the next one that we'll get to in just a moment, that good soil, we look at ourselves and say, I'm the good soil. I have a feeling, if we're really honest with ourselves and doing some self-evaluating, this is probably where most of us end up. where we grow and we want to grow and we want to grow big and strong spiritually. That's why we're here today. That's why we attend our Bible classes. It's why we're at worship, and we come not just Sundays, but we come Wednesdays too. And then we get out into the world, we go back to work, we go back to school, we're with our friends, our co-workers, and slowly what starts to happen is the influences around us slowly start just grabbing hold. And what we talked about on Sunday has less significance because, well, the worries of life, we got to deal with that on a daily basis. We deal with sick loved ones. We deal with death. We deal with politics. We deal with opinions. We deal with TV. We deal with what we see in TV shows and movies. The deceitfulness of money. We think that we always need to climb the next rung of the ladder just to get better and better and better. We keep up with the Joneses, and if I had this, I'd be happy. If I had this, I'd be happy. If I had this, I'd be happy. And then we come back on Sunday, and we find the true source of happiness, which is right in front of us, God and His Son Jesus, who has forgiven us of all of our sins, and we sing praises to Him, and we remember Him, and we love Him, and then we go back on Monday morning, and it's like, the paycheck. The co-workers, the friends, they're there again. And I'm not saying any of those things are necessarily bad things. It's okay to be successful in life. And there will be worries and there will be times of trouble. But when we let those things take root with us, we can't grow. We'll never be what we want to be spiritually if we're letting everything around us grab on and join on for the ride. We have to learn, as the book of Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, lay aside the weight of sin that so easily entangles us. Think about that in light of what you see. In light of what Jesus says, that sin entangles us. It holds us back from our potential growth spiritually. And then you get what we call the good soil. Who Jesus says, here's someone who hears the word, understands it, and produces the fruit. Some 100, some 60, some 30. We read Psalm 1 for our scripture just a little bit ago. I won't reread the entire thing. I'm sure some of you will thank me for that. But some parts I want to point out just very quickly in Psalm chapter 1. This is one of those psalms, to me, that it's just like what we've been talking about. Some of those simple, very simple. There's some things in Scripture that you feel like you need a PhD to understand. Psalm 1, to me, describes, I think, almost all the psalms coming up here. But it's so simple to understand. And it's one of those that I've read over and over and over again. And each time I read it, I jot a little note down. I circle something. I underline something. Because it's something that just, it resonates. And it's something that, as they say, you can take home with you and start using immediately. But talking about a righteous man, or the blessed man, this is what it starts saying in verse 3. He shall be planted, or he shall be like a tree, planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. He says this righteous man, this blessed man, you get this picture of a tree that's been planted, he says, by the rivers of water. A place when you look at the soils, it's not dry, it's not rocky, but it's good soil, and it plants itself there, right in the rivers of the water, so the roots can dig down deep, so that when those difficult times come, that's not saying that we're not going to be, we don't have the worries of life or the deceitfulness of money won't get to us every now and then. But when it does, we've been planted so far deep down by the rivers of water, or in God's word, in other words, that we can stand firm in those moments. And did you notice something else that I have it circled here in verse 5? It says, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. You get this progression in the first three verses of what the blessed man does not do. And you get this progression of walking, standing, and sitting, right? That when we come and we find ourselves with the ungodly and the sinners and the scornful, it's that logical progression, think about it, that you find yourself walking by, there's verse 1, walks in the counsel of the ungodly, and then you kind of stop and see, you stop and, now I'm going to kind of stand here, I'm going to see what this is all about for a minute. Then you find yourself sitting with the scornful, partaking in sin. Did you notice the progression, the walk, stand, sit, that when you're with the wicked, the ungodly, the sinful, it's down, you're sitting. And then he brings it back up in verse 5, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment. There's a reason I think the psalmist is using these words. Because when we are rooted in God's word, we will be confident going into judgment, and we can stand firm knowing that we have followed God. We're not distracted by things around us. We're not sitting down at the feet of people we shouldn't be sitting down with. We are standing firm like a tree that is planted by the waters. That when those difficult times come, he says, we're not going to be like the ungodly who are driven away by wind. We're going to be like the house that stands firm in Matthew chapter 7, that when the winds and the waves come, our house will not go splat like we sing with the kid, but it will stand firm because it's built on the rock of Jesus Christ. But that means we're diligent to plant and fertilize and water our spiritual lives with the Word of God. Let's go back to Matthew 13. I want to end with this idea. Because I've taught this parable before. I've taught it to young people especially. And there's this mindset that comes when you hear this soil parable, that you can't be useful in God's kingdom unless you're planted on good soil. Have you heard that before? That unless my heart is in the good soil, I can't be useful in God's kingdom. I want to share with you another parable that he speaks, starting in verse 24. It says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, do you not sow good seed in your field? How does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. And the servants said to him, do you want us to go and gather them up? But he said, no, because while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares, bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, we don't have time to go into this in complete detail this morning. But what I will say, there are some circumstances in life you and I cannot help. And the mentality of, I can't do good in God's kingdom, that's just not true. I would suggest to you that you can do good in God's kingdom no matter where you're planted. You might be in a work environment that is a stress and a struggle on your spiritual life. And there's maybe some lessons on maybe finding something else. I understand that's not always the case. But you can do good. You can do good to the friends and the family who are in your life who might be pulling you back spiritually. You can be good and do good, but we have to make a decision to be planted firm like the soil's taught us. And I love what Jesus, this parable that's being talked about here, still on that planting theme. That there may be some tares among you. Keep growing. Keep pushing. Grow where you have been planted because God is using you. We all have circumstances in our life that could become deceitful. It could become major struggles spiritually that could, if we're not careful, pull us down, dry us up, choke us out. But yet God can use you where you are right now. Be the flower among the thorns. Be the good soil among the wayside. Strive to be better. We've been planted here by God, and we are growing with dark and evil things in this world, but that is not an excuse to give up. It is not an excuse to let the devil win. That's when we push back hard to be who God has asked us to be. I know that we are all at different parts of our spiritual life. That as we were talking about some of these parables today, you were probably finding things out about yourself on maybe where your heart is and what Jesus had to say about some of those soils. And maybe you're not where you want to be. Use today as a reminder, as a wake-up call to say, I want to be better. I want God's word to hit my heart and take root. I want God's word to dwell in my heart and to grow like that mighty tree we saw in Psalms 1. It's going to take some work and effort on our part to be planted, to fertilize, to get into God's word, to be with God's people, to talk to God in prayer. But don't ever settle for just small little roots on the stony ground. Don't settle when you find yourselves being choked out. But wherever you are in life, know that God can use you for great things. Know that you can grow big and strong spiritually. And I look at those around us, and I look at people here today, and I know we're at all different walks. Some are struggling. Some are questioning. Some are strong. And then I look at these kids, and I heard them singing those songs. I saw Dansby singing. I hear the boys over here singing. That's the heart of good soil that we should all strive for. They're young, but they're strong. We can all be strong with hearts that serve God and serve Him passionately. In whatever situation we have going on in our lives, know that we can do good. And we can be a light to this world. Wherever you are, if you need to come to Jesus today, this is your opportunity. Come be buried in the waters of baptism. Start a relationship with Him. Or some of you maybe have been on the wayside and you find yourself wanting to get back. Start producing. Start growing together with God's family. That opportunity is here for you as well. We can help you.